Hello, everyone. Welcome to the eTech Leadership Table. This is a podcast where we invite you to pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and join us as we tackle some remarkable discussions on everything leadership. I'm Melissa Wood. I'm your host. I'm the Dean of Leadership Development at eTech Global Services. Hello, and welcome back to the eTech Leadership Table, where we get an opportunity to pull up a chair, grab your favorite drink, and sit down and talk to some experts in the field of today, customer experience. And so without further ado, I just want to introduce to you our new guest today at the table, and her name is Katie Stabler. Hey, Katie, how are you?
Hi, I am great. Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited that you were able to join us all the way from the UK. Okay, everybody listening. Everybody says, Melissa, what are we going to learn today? Because I think that instead of just listening for entertainment, the difference about this podcast is we're actually going to learn something. So this is educational time. And I appreciate Katie being on here to teach us some things. So grab your pen and paper if you haven't, because great leaders take great notes, right? Grab your tablet, whatever you're writing on, and everybody take notes. I'm taking notes. So here's what you're going to learn today. So if you're taking notes, Katie's going to teach us how to go from having a CX strategy to an actual CX movement, right? She's going to, it's the transforming, how to transform something, a culture of transformation. If you don't know, I'm not going to go, Namisha will put the link about Katie in for her bio. But I want you to know a few things that that stand out to me about Katie. She has got this book released. I love the name of it, Katie. It's the CXism. Oh, I knew you would have it. And it's the pink. I love the pink. So basically how to build a movement and not a strategy, because there is a difference. And she's going to teach us about that. So how to cultivate that movement. She's the director and owner of Cultivate Customer Experience by Design. Go check her website out. It's pink. It's perfect. It's very clear. I've been studying about it. You can see where she does keynote speaking. She does coaching. She will come into your organization and turn it upside down is what pretty much it looks like. If it needs to be turned upside down, she'll completely remodel, renovate, and do everything. You know, Katie, when I started looking at all the things you guys have, e-learning, you do coaching, you do executive development, you go from frontline. You even host a international awards event. Mm-hmm. You pretty much, I started thinking, and I'm not sure if you know someone in Texas. Her name is Joanna Gaines. And
I don't know.
Okay. Well, she has her own TV network called the Magnolia Network. All right. So she's very mm-hmm. popular. She's worldwide, but she's not in the CX field, if you will, but what she does is home renovation. She'll go mm-hmm. in, and she's known, she's got the Target stores, they carry her right. line, everything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's the stuff, let me tell you, when it comes to home renovation. And when I was reading everything that you do and everything that you've done and looking at I said, Katie's like the Joanna Gaines of CX.
That's a nice analogy. That's a cool analogy. I like that.
Yeah. So if anyone knows the Magnolia Network, that's pretty much what Katie does. She will come in like Joanna Gaines. There you have it. She's taking notes. You actually look a bit like Joanna Gaines too, let me just say. Maybe that's why I also thought of it. So Joanna, if you're listening, Katie is the other side of making the experience great, and you can do the house remodel. So Joanna comes in and puts the fuzzy chairs and makes the Florida ceiling windows and all those things in home. So what Joanna does, she will do a complete remodel if needed. She will remodel one or two rooms if needed, or she'll take some existing beauty that you have and make it livable, someplace you want to live the rest of your life. And really, that's kind of what you do when you walk into these organizations, right? You have to gut them. And then sometimes you just do little rooms at a time. So
Don't be surprised if you see me snipping that. I love that.
Snip it. I'll do a recording for you all you want. So welcome to our Magnolia Network, Katie Stabler, today for coming in and showing us how to take a strategy and turn it to a, a movement and going to give us some practical steps. So we're mm-hmm. learning from the best. So here we go. So there is a question I have that, you know, there's, what is the difference really of when approaching it as a strategy versus driving a whole movement when it comes to CX? What do you think, Katie?
Well, let's just start by, if you're lucky, a company has a customer experience strategy, but many don't even have that. But when customer experience is treated as a strategy, it often lives in a PowerPoint or it gets confined to a single department. A strategy is something we do, but when it becomes a movement, it shifts into something that we believe and we live. And I absolutely believe that customer experience needs to be that. You know, a strategy outlines a plan, a movement inspires people to act because they care. A strategy tends to focus on structure and outcomes, whereas a movement, it adds meaning and emotion and belonging and customer experience. And I know the boardroom doesn't like to talk about emotion too much, but customer experience is full of emotion. This is how we connect with brands. We are sentimental people and beings. And if we don't have emotion connected to a brand, then we are not going to be loyal. So movements don't need micromanaging. They're fueled by a shared purpose. And this is the real power of turning customer experience from a strategy into a movement that actually makes a difference for your company.
I love that. I think that's fabulous. Is there a company, I'm not trying to plug a company, we don't get paid for this and Katie doesn't get paid for this, but is there someone that you do business with, that you're a customer with, that you're like passionate about them, that you're embedded in a relationship with that company?
Yeah, there is actually, and I talk about them quite a lot. They're a UK company called Able and Co, and they're an organic online grocery store. And I don't shop with them all the time. You know, they're organic, they're quite expensive. But they have such a strong ethos around sustainability. They really practice what they preach. They advocate for it strongly. They've got beautiful messaging from the customer service side of things. They're absolutely on point. I've never experienced any friction. They're completely seamless. Their customer offers, you know, quite often companies will have new customer offers and they kind of forget about the existing, but not Able and Co. Able and Co have just got amazing offers constantly drawing you back in, whether you're new or not. And they just scream customer centricity from their core. And I just love them. They're great. And I don't work with them, great. But I would love to.
Well, great. You know, I love to watch what different generations think about customer experience. Mm. And the most recent example I have, Katie, is my son. He's about to be 25 and he doesn't like to shop. Can you imagine? He's an outdoors enthusiast. When I say an outdoor enthusiast, he is he's actually 26 hours from me right now and he's on an outdoor adventure. So stay tuned. Maybe I'll share pictures later. But he actually had to go into a department store. I'll give the name. It's called Shields. I've never been to it, but it's a sporting outdoor store. And he had to get some hiking boots because he was going to be hiking for miles and miles. He came home to the U.S. to tell me about his experience in the store. He said, "Mom, it wasn't just one person. Like everyone was asking me, like, what can I help you with? Where are you going? Like, how far are you going to be walking?" And he said it was just phenomenal. Like everybody was just on their game. And he's like, "I don't know what they're doing there, but they need to replicate that." And so he purchased a rather expensive purchase. And the gentleman that was helping him, he was like all involved. They shared Instagram account so that he could keep up with his adventure that he was on. And it was just a great experience. So when you talk about from a strategy to a movement and it, you know, people like care about it. I heard that in your story about, it seems like everyone cared about the experience of that customer. And I got to hear about it from a millennial, right? That was going in and experiencing that. So I thought it was really great. All right. So when you think about leadership, leaders have to embed customer-centric thinking into the company. How can they do that at every level? How can leaders embed customer-centric thinking into the company culture at every level? And this is a hard chore for leaders.
Yeah, it is. But do you know what? This is exactly what I do with companies. So if I go in and work with a company and they want me to target specifically a part of leadership, a department, or the front line, I have a really good chat with them around why. Why am I just engaging with this particular level or this particular person? Because actually, as I've said, customer experience, for it to work, it has to be embedded in the DNA for a company. And so many companies waste money on piecemeal initiatives. So at every level, it is important. And I could give you a really, really long list of old things that you could be doing, but I'll try and condense it to five kind of
Okay.
overarching things. So firstly, co-create a really clear customer experience purpose. So don't just define your promise or your vision, but bring your teams together to shape what that looks like. So it's not just one voice, it's an organizational voice. So ownership really builds commitment. So co-create, clear vision, number one. Then connect everybody's role to the impact of customer experience. Because quite often, for some people, particularly frontline, it's really obvious what impact they have on the customer experience. But if you're back office and you're working with like technology processes, policy that don't necessarily touch the customer directly, it can be harder to understand your impact. But everybody who works in that company ultimately impacts the customer
Yeah.
experience. So help everyone to understand that. Make sure they can see how they connect to the customer and make sure everyone knows that their role is not CX neutral. Modeling at the top would be the next thing. Leaders must walk the talk. If customer experience isn't visibly important to leaders, then it won't be to the rest of the business either. So it has to be. Everybody needs to be singing off that same hymn sheet. And talking about singing, make it part of the organizational rhythm. Bake it into everything from onboarding, talk about it in team meetings, make sure you're looking at the right metrics, make sure recognition around customer experience takes part. Learning and development has to include customer experience, hiring. So, every single part of the organization from start to end needs to keep that conversation and flow of CX alive. And then I guess to round it all off, my last one, number five, is to tell stories often. So
Okay.
share customer wins, share recoveries, talk about CX stories like they're folklore. Don't forget about them, the good, the bad, the ugly. Just keep talking about it, because people love storytelling, right? And it resonates. And if you can turn your customer stories into living examples, then they're going to strengthen the company values.
I hope everyone's taking notes. I hope everyone is taking notes here, because I told you this podcast is a little different than maybe some other ones. This is basically an educational class we are in, and she's given us a blueprint of how to do this. Watch Joanna Gaines at work here, guys. She is showing you the blueprint of what it looks like. So, co-create a purpose, like a vision. Number two, connect everyone's role. The connection pieces, I think that is huge. When you say connect everyone else's role, I started thinking about, remember when we were going to send a man to the moon, and then there was an interview with a custodian at NASA. You
I know what you
remember
told me
that?
about. I
Yeah.
do, yes.
They said, like, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm sending a man to the moon." And when you said that, like, that just immediately made me think about connect everyone's purpose. You're not customer experience neutral. Everyone's something they're doing. So I think that was profound. Model it from the top. And then number four is make, I said, you said speaking of singing, so it's teaching them to sing together. We don't like to hear music when people are off tune or people are singing different ways. And I love how the beauty that you put about making them sing together, make it part of your rhythm. And then tell the stories often. I just tell the story about the Shields, and you tell a story about Abel and Cole. These are real personal things to us, and I think that that's extremely. This is Katie Stabler gold right here. So hold on to it. So I appreciate you giving that framework. Okay. Anytime you give a framework, anytime you have the best intentions, there's always going to be a little bit of resistance. And I know that you've walked in a many a room, a many of companies. And you're probably ready for the resistance, right? Because you know that there's typically going to be some sort of resistance that shows up. So how can you overcome that resistance and turn people into advocates for CX? What do you do?
Yeah, I think this is such a great question because you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. People are sometimes just resistant to change. And I think the first thing to understand is why they're resistant. And usually it's fear. You know, usually there is something, like it could be fear of anything, like fear my job's going to change, fear that I'm not going to understand this, fear that something is going to be complex, that's going to impact my role in some kind of way. You know, there's normally an underlying fear in resistance to change. So I think people fear change that feels imposed or unclear. So the antidote to that, it kind of comes back to, you know, step one of the things that I gave a second ago, in that involve people and make sure what you are trying to achieve is absolutely clear. So start by listening. What are they worried about? Give them small ways to be part of the change. Make sure they feel like they're part of that journey. They've got a voice that is heard and part of it. Show proof and demonstration that what you're doing is working. And definitely recognize and buoy up those early adopters, because they're going to be your voice against the challenge as well. You know, these are friends and stakeholders of people in that company. And if people who are resistant to change see some of their friends and co-workers going along on the journey, then they're going to ultimately feel a better comfort level to do so too. And, you know, customer experience is often seen like extra work. You know, it's something else we've got to add to the list. And maybe at the beginning it is. Maybe there are things that you are going to have to do in additional to your current job and your responsibilities. But the beauty of customer experience is once it gets going, you stop being reactive and you're proactive. You actually end up reducing the workload because you're reducing the challenges and the friction. So you have more time to do the good stuff. So I think also acknowledging that it isn't going to be too much extra work or hard work for people. But ultimately, it goes back to just making sure that people have a voice and are part of it. So it's not being done to them, but they're doing it with everybody else.
Yeah, I love that. And it does go back to create the purpose, the number one thing that you listed there, and then showing them that they're not neutral. Involve people. You said something that I really like. I wanted to point out for everyone who's taking notes. And I know this is a challenge for a lot of companies. You have much work that's out there, Katie, for you to go in and help large companies and small companies alike. But the small ways to be part of the change, I think that was really brilliant. You know, I teach leadership development. I've been doing this for over 30 years in the industry. And what I have learned, this is why TikTok is so powerful, is that people like bite-sized information, right? They like to get things bite-sized. I just ate a mini ice cream cone yesterday and I loved it, right? I loved the mini part, right? That made me feel much better than eating a huge ice cream cone. So a mini part makes you feel better. And I think the same thing goes with what you're saying in CX, small ways to be part of the change. Give them bite-sized ways that they can be part of the change. That is, again, Katie Gold. I think you guys need to be listening to some of this Katie Gold. All right. You mentioned it, but last question. I'll just have maybe two. Just two. Are you good for two more questions, maybe? Okay, good. All right. So you talked about, you know, they think is it an extra to have. A lot of companies think it's extra and they don't understand that it really makes a difference long term. So how can companies measure the long term impact of a movement versus the short term strategy outcomes?
Yeah, and that is really prominent in customer experience, because with a lot of initiatives, you can quite often see a return on investment quite quickly. But with customer experience, it's such a cliche, but it is a long-term game. You know, we're talking about cultural changes and things where you don't necessarily see benefits overnight. So there are plenty of traditional metrics that the world of customer experience uses, like Net Promoter Score, which, if anybody doesn't know what NPS is, I can guarantee you will have answered this question before. So the Net Promoter Score question is, how likely would you be to recommend us to friends or family? That's an NPS question. So companies use that, they use customer satisfaction scores, and these are all really useful ways of measuring. But they only tell part of the story, in my opinion. So to measure the impact truly of a customer experience movement, I think you need to look through a blend of lenses. So look at the cultural shifts that are taking place in the organization. You know, are more teams talking about customer experience unprompted? Is customer experience part of the decision making? Are we using surveys and journey maps and user metrics to look at the data? You know, are all of these things starting to cultivate naturally? You know, they're the culture shifts. Behavior changes is another thing. So, you know, are you seeing fewer escalations from customers? Are you seeing quicker resolutions, more proactive support? Are you seeing people think creatively about ways to improve the customer experience without them being nudged? You know, are you seeing this kind of behavior being adapted? And then I guess lastly, the business outcomes over time, which of course all business leaders want to be looking at, the business outcomes. But look for those links between customer experience-led behaviors and metrics like customer lifetime value. You know, how long is that customer with you and how much are they spending? Your rate of churn, your rate of customer advocacy, employee retention, employee satisfaction, because all of these things link very strongly to customer experience. So not just one, not just an NPS, not just customer satisfaction, but I think look through all of those lenses, yeah. Culture shifts, behavioral changes, business outcomes. And that is how you will really measure the impact of your customer experience efforts, shall we say.
Good. Very good. I enjoy that. We here at our company, we have, I call it, I love the sunshine. So, you know, when I asked you earlier, like, what's the weather like where you are? And you said, it's really kind of muggy. And I love the sunshine. I get vitamin D from the sunshine, right? I'm not sure if you're a sunshine person.
I am.
Okay, good. I need the sun. So when I'm not feeling well, you know, I need to sit out in the sun and I just soak it up. I do enjoy the cloudy days, but you get vitamin D from the sun. And everything that you listed, what I tagged here in our company when I help other organizations as well, I call it vitamin data. Vitamin D, that's the vitamin data. And what you've just went through is all the vitamins that a company needs to be looking at, the vitamin D, so that you can shine a light on how they can be healthier. And it's not just one day of sun that we need multiple data. We need multiple data points. And so I really love all these vitamins that you brought up that we need. We need multitude of vitamins to be looking at, not just some of these, you know, high profile vitamins like NPS, you know, some of those things.
You're totally right. Do you know, there's a statistic and it's quite recent, but it's 14% of companies use your vitamin D together organically. Only 14%. So
are you serious?
So that, like, the problem with that is if you're only looking at a lens here and a data point there, you're using that data erroneously. You know, it's not a true picture. So what you say is, I'm absolutely with you on that. More companies need to bring all of those vitamins together to create the healthy vitamin shot that you need, because so many companies just don't, and it's really fragmented and siloed. And
you know, Katie, why would we, as a huge company, not look at all the data? We would want a doctor to do that if we weren't feeling well and they go and pull our blood work. We wouldn't want them just to pull like two things and look at it. We want them to pull whatever you got to pull to see what's going on with my body. Right.
Yeah.
So
I think it's bad habits, to be honest. I think, you know, if you think about the corporate world, you've got, you know, Bob who looks after customer feedback, and Sarah who looks after the SLAs, and John who looks after complaints, and maybe once a month, in a boardroom, we'll bring the reports together and we'll talk about them together. But then for the rest of the month, they go off and they focus on their own part of that job. Fair enough, understandable, everyone's got their own things to do.
Right.
But once a month, bringing those points together is not sufficient enough. And I just think it's the way we cultivated it.
Oh my gosh, you really are on. You're right. We wouldn't want a doctor to do that. We wouldn't want them to look at one or two things. We want them to look at everything every time they see me. to see what's happening with us. Okay, very good. All right. Well, I know you've got things to do this afternoon, and so I'll just ask you this last question. How important is the leadership communication strategy, like storytelling, in sustaining the movement?
It's a foundation. It actually, absolutely has to happen. So leaders set the tone. You know, I said it again in those 5 points. It has to come from top level. So if they communicate with warmth and purpose and consistency and authenticity, and they're not just informing, but they're inspiring, then they're going to help this customer experience movement as opposed to just a strategy. And I've already said it, but I think storytelling is what brings customer experience to life, and particularly because we're all customers. So we all instinctively get it. We all understand it. So I think storytelling really humanizes the data and connects us emotionally to the experience that we as a business provides. A spreadsheet, informative perhaps, but it isn't going to move hearts. But a story about how one team member changed a customer's day, that sticks. So I think great leaders tell the right stories at the right time to remind everyone why they're doing this. And I actually worked with a company who utilized customer surveys, but through voice. So when a customer was asked to give feedback, they would do a little voice recording.
Okay.
And it was great. It was particularly important for this company because they were a financial company, a debt collection, in fact. So it was a very emotive subject anyways. But when the customers gave their feedback, they were like little mini stories on their own. And you could hear the emotion. And believe it or not, there's a lot of great feedback because customers, when they actually spoke to the debt collection company, you know, a weight lifted off their shoulder to realize how much support they had there. So I think, you know, storytelling, hearing emotion, connecting your experience to the real impact it has on people's lives, which it always does. Companies have impact on customers' lives. I think that's what great leaders need to do to inspire their organizations.
Oh, that is absolutely powerful. I don't know if you know this or not, but you and I actually have something in common. When I was 21 years old, I went through training. I worked for debt collections. And you don't get many people in the CX industry that used to be in the collections world, huh?
No.
I heard you say that on one of your podcasts, and I was like, "Ooh, Katie and I have a little experience in it." And I think that you have to hear that side of it because there really is a lot of customer service in debt collections. And when I cut my teeth, if you will, in debt collections, and then I got to get a certification where I helped people get out of debt. Right. And I think you did too.
I did the other way around. Yeah. That's crazy. So I started in not for profit, helping customers, people get out of debt and financial difficulties. And then I moved to debt collection, taking all of that human, different viewpoint into the world of collection. How funny. What a coincidence.
Isn't that crazy? And I think that when you start in such a, what people call maybe a hardcore industry, you really have to hone in your customer experience skills. So I think that you're right. Those stories that they tell of that you hear and hearing those, you know, we read all the customer statements and those types of things. But wow, how powerful to like hear the passion. And so I really like that you said that, you know, we can be informative and that's what a lot of this information does, or we can move the hearts. And I know that's what your book does. I know that's what you do. I'm not here to promote. I want everybody to buy your book and I want everybody to go check your website out for sure, because I think you're doing great work. I really do.
Thank you.
But I definitely want them to have learned something today on this podcast, and we have. So your time has been incredible. We've learned lots of things about moving from just this strategy to a movement and becoming an ambassador, if you will, for what they do. So thank you for being an ambassador for customers, which is me, which is you, which is everyone else that's at the table for us today. And thank you for taking this world of CX and putting your design on it. I think that's the Joanna Gaines that I see from you. You actually put your intelligent design and then you make it real and livable for people to live in that house, and they enjoy it, and they have a fuzzy chair, and they have their drink, and they have their windows. So you've just been a pleasure to be at the table with today. I hope you come back, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. So thank you for being on the eTech Leadership Table.
Thank you for a great conversation. High energy. Loved it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Katie. We'll see you next time at the eTech Leadership Table.